Bouchard?
I heard some bad news about him.
What did you hear?
I got it from Wingham Colony.
From which one?
Wingham Colony.
Where are they?
And my brother-in-law said that the minister from Rosedale, you know, Mike, I guess you know him. He told him.
Okay.
He told my brother-in-law in Wingham, that's my brother-in-law, and he said a minister from Rosedale told him that bad news.
And what's the bad news?
He said he's got cancer.
Who has cancer?
Your brother.
Andy Bouchard. Has cancer?
That's what I heard.
Where did he get that from?
I just told you.
No, I think he just drove around and actually I didn't even know him until I heard him talk, till I heard his voice, then I recognized him. And we just visited and asked him how he was, and they just said he's been fighting cancer, and I don't know, it seemed to me he just gave up, not even trying to get well or watching himself. I was kind of disappointed in him, but if it bothered him, he sure he had a nice way of hiding it. I mean, he was his happy-go-lucky self. I didn't ask if he was, the way he talked, it seemed to me that it didn't work for anybody. So I don't really know what he's doing.
That he's not working right now?
I don't think so. It didn't dawn on him. He guess he was in the area, just dropped by. He didn't say what he wanted, just chatted a while, and then he left.
And he said he's been fighting cancer for a while?
Yeah, 2 years, he said.
2 years?
Yeah.
What kind of cancer is it?
He said it was all over. He didn't say where it started, he just said it was pretty well all over, he said.
So what kind of treatment is he taking?
I didn't want to go into that.
He didn't talk about it, eh?
No.
And he said he'd been fighting it for 2 years?
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah.
Well, I believe in the Bible, and he prevented his mother from getting cancer treatment. So I believe in God, and I think, the Bible's quite clear about if you don't treat your parents properly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And don't wish that on anyone, but I'm not surprised.
No. Well, you know what the Bible says, where the man sows, he shall reap.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Yep. I didn't actually really know about his history or how he treated his parents. That was actually new to me, and I shared it with some of the guys here, and it says, I guess, if you treat your parents, this is probably what's coming to them.
Yeah.
That's the first word I heard about it.
No, he evicted his dad. Remember when you guys were so kind, you invited me in for supper when there was that school opening?
Oh, yeah,
and
okay.
And we played bingo?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to see my dad because Andy had put him in the manor in St. Eustache.
Uh-huh.
He had put a chain on the door and he wouldn't let me visit my dad at all. And then Andy had me charged with several counts, so I couldn't help my dad, and he threw me in jail for 4 months.
Really?
4 months.
Oh.
So, and I was acquitted of all charges, and that was all to prevent me from helping my mother get cancer treatment in the States.
Oh, yeah.
And I was helping Dad to stay in his home, and Andy came against me, and he had me thrown in jail. He had a lot of charges at the RCMP against me, saying that I was mental and all the... Oh, you should see the lies he just sowed.
Okay.
Then when I came out to see my mom, when my mom insisted that she talk to me, Andy passed her the phone. She called me in Vancouver, and I was on the next plane.
Okay.
Then what he did is he had the police arrest me and threw me in jail for 4 months. And Mom didn't know what she was doing because they put a whole bunch of morphine in her. She didn't have a clue what her name was.
Okay.
He picked Mom up and took her to the RCMP station and had her charge me with attempted kidnap of her to take her down to Houston, Texas, back to the cancer clinic.
Uh-huh.
And the cancer clinic was working for her. Andy didn't want her to get better.
Why would he?
Because he wanted her millions.
Oh.
Because of her husband, eh? And my sister Linda was in on it. And my sister had Mom change her will, exclude 3 of the 9 children, which Mom would have never done. And then my sister, who works at Land Title, had Mom's property transferred out of Mom's name into her husband's. And when the paper came back from Land Titles, where Linda works, Linda's name was on there, along with my stepfather, Mom's new husband. That was fraud. Now she's being charged with fraud.
Oh, yeah.
So it's greed. Greed, and Andy was behind that, too.
Okay. And like I just asked him, what are you doing now? I didn't want to ask, well, I kind of referred to where, I don't know where you're coming from or what are you doing. He says, well, I just picked up a jug, and you picked up a jug with the condition you're in. It says you're smoking like a chimney and you're drinking. Come on, Andy. Well, we're going to die anyway. I mean, everybody's going to die. So what's the difference, now or later? I says, come on. But he just shook it off. I mean, I knew him well. Like, he sold us 2 skid steer loaders. But there was no way I would have recognized him. Like, he had long hair, a big mustache, and, you know, shades, sunglasses on, and there was no way. Till he said hello, then I just knew him by the voice.
Or long hair? How come long hair?
I don't know. And he picked up a lot of weight, too.
He picked up a lot of weight?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I heard, how long ago did you see him?
2 weeks ago.
Because somebody else saw him and they said that he lost weight.
Well, maybe it was bigger than that, because I haven't seen him since he lost his job in Portage.
Okay, well, that was in January.
This past January?
Yeah, this past January he lost his job in Portage.
Like, he didn't step out of the vehicle, like just his face. I mean, he had a second chin. His face was... You know, maybe he's taking treatments, maybe them do it. I didn't go into particulars. I was very surprised when he told me that he's fighting cancer, so I didn't want to pursue it. You know, it's a very delicate situation, but when he said, you know, who cares, you know, everybody's going to die. You got to die once, and so what should he do?
Well, you know what? Like you said, You reap what you sow.
Oh, yes.
He did not want his mother to get healed from cancer. When she was going to the clinic in Houston, she was being healed, and they stopped it, him and my sister.
Yeah.
And when she had one last chance to get healed, they, instead of letting her go, they threw me in jail for 4 months for no reason. And then they wouldn't let me out of the province. They wouldn't give me bail until the court hearings.
Mm-hmm.
And he convinced Dad to charge me with assault when there was no assault, so I was acquitted. Then my sister had charged me with assault. I was acquitted. They charged me with attempted kidnap. I was acquitted. They charged me with threatening to kill my brother with a gun when I was in jail with my Bible. I spent time reading my Bible. So all this is going to come back to haunt him, obviously, because that's one lie after another. He had the RCMP believing that I was a mental case. Meanwhile, it's him who's refusing to allow Dad to get back in. He's signed 4 or 5 different papers saying Dad could stay in his home. Then he reneged on it every time. Well, you know, that just won't wash. You don't kick your dad out for no reason.
No.
He's just been awfully mean and evil to my dad all these years, and I didn't have a clue until he phoned me to say that he was trying to get my dad committed when he fell and hurt. You know, when my dad fell at the church in St. Eustache?
Yeah.
Okay. He was in the hospital, and my brother phoned me to say that he was going to put my dad in a psychiatric ward in Portage. And I said, Andy, my dad just fell. Give him a break. You know, he's got a, you know, swelling on the back of the head, and you know, you got to give him time to recover.
Is he the only boy?
No, there's Jerry.
Oh, where is he?
Oh, he's hiding in Lloydminster.
Oh, hiding why?
Oh, Andy's been a bully to him all these years, so he doesn't speak up, and when he does, Andy is such a good liar. Here's an example. When I took Dad out of the hospital, I took him to London Drugs. He wanted to get a stepladder to get in the cupboards in the kitchen, you know, so he wouldn't fall. Dad was concerned about his safety, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So here I went with him, and we got this stepping stool, three steps, you know, so you can reach the cupboards, right?
Yeah.
By the time my sister phoned me from the States, Andy had her believing that I bought that, a big ladder, so he could fall. You know, it was just one lie after another coming from his mouth. And then he told the police it wasn't his idea to kick Dad out. It was the family's. And I just gave him a dirty look in front of the RCMP. I thought, you lying son of a gun, you. The other thing, too, is 2 days before Dad fell in St. Eustache, Andy, I went to land title after because the lawyer told me, go get the paperwork of land title. I went to land title. Andy had put $150,000 mortgage, $185,000 mortgage on the two properties 2 days before Dad fell. So that was the reason he wanted Dad kicked out, because he had promised Dad could stay in his house, but I guess he wanted to sell it.
Yeah.
And if Dad's there, he'll get less, right? Well, that was the deal, because he took advantage of Dad anyways when he bought the property. He never gave him full price.
Mm-hmm. So, has he got family?
Who? Yeah, he's got two girls. They're not really talking to him. They're both in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
Two girls, yeah. They don't want...
You know, I never would have taken Andy for to have a character like that, but I guess...
He's got a temper. You have no idea. He's got an evil temper.
I mean, every person has to go through a test to really show his character, but I guess I never had any dealings that would show his character. I mean, he was a salesman. He made a good job of selling, but...
You know what? I talked to other colonies, and they've got stories that would make your hair curl.
Oh.
Of Andy selling him equipment that he had rolled back the odometer on a truck.
Oh, yeah.
He had taken advantage in several other instances. They won't have anything to do with him.
Uh-huh. Well, the only things he sold out were brand new, so he couldn't do anything with that.
Oh, okay. Well, except, that's another thing. One time he sold a combine, I think it was a combine, and he sold it as a current year, meanwhile it was a year old.
Oh, yeah.
So they ended up paying the current price instead of the, you know, the... year-old price, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's done a lot of things like that. I sat at the coffee shop when I was trying... I talked to other colonometer on the truck.
Oh, yeah.
He had taken advantage in several other instances. They won't have anything to do with him.
Uh-huh. Well, the only things he sold out were brand new, so he couldn't do anything with that.
Oh, okay. Well, except... that's another thing. One time he sold a combine. I think it was a combine. And he sold it as a current year, meanwhile it was a year old.
Oh, yeah.
So they ended up paying the current price instead of the, you know, the year-old price, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's done a lot of things like that. I sat at the coffee shop when I was trying to help Dad, and all these people were coming up to me and telling me their horror stories with my brother. And I said, well, you know, they didn't want to say, because he's your brother. I said, listen, I'm going through hell with him right now, so, you know, I'm on board with you. He has not treated my dad properly.
Mm-hmm.
He's lied, and he said that Dad could not go back to his home. He had to move to St. Eustache.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
he must have gone to Ron Shabbat school.
Pardon me?
He must have gone to Ron Shabbat school.
Yeah, they worked together.
Okay, Ron Shabbat had the same character. I mean, when I got to know Ron, we bought a piece of land on the other side of the 26, and it was Arnell who was the real estate agent, and he had an office and Ron Shabbat's building and over there, we assembled those dryers.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And so Dad walked up and made, you know, to make out the papers, and I walked down. And Ron was standing at the big window just looking out, and it was kind of a miserable day, late in fall, it was rainy, and smoking a big cigar. He says, come on, goddammit, rain. I says, what's the matter with you? Are you crazy? There's farmers trying to get the crop off the field, and you say rain? He says, how do you want me to make a living? I gotta sell some dryers. I says, Ron, I'll be a prophet today. If you're in business a year from today, I will be surprised. It didn't take a year.
That's right.
Bankrupt.
Yeah, but not until he bankrupted his dad, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And Phil is not much better.
Really, eh? And the other one that was working there was Gordon Demery.
Oh, yeah.
That's a brother-in-law to Andy?
Oh, yeah.
So the two of them eventually clash because they're too much of the same character, right?
Okay.
And then Andy Chabot, too, was working, well, I don't know, he got fired, so I don't know, I guess he must have been in cahoots with Andy Bouchard, because he got fired from the Mazur group from Lights, eh?
Oh, yeah.
And they've been there, you know, for a long period of time, for years and years, eh?
Yeah.
But Andy was bragging to Mike Slagers. Do you know Mike Slagers?
Oh, do I ever.
Oh, what do you think of Mike?
Uh-huh. What I think about him?
Yeah.
Myself, I never had really run into him, but Levi here. You know Levi?
I don't think I know him, because I left Manitoba in 1972, so it goes back a few years.
Okay, so he's about a year or so older than I am. But anyway, for Levi himself said, I really don't know what he's got against me. Like, he had owned land adjoining ours, and there was a pile of stones there, and we wanted to clean them up. And he pushed them over on our side of the land. Like, our land had no stones, but what they did on his side of the land, I don't know. So he just pushed them in. And it got to the point he even got the RCMP involved.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Mike. Oh, he loves to bring the RCMP in all the time.
Till the RCMP told him, listen, these stones were on your property. When you look at the section lines, even the way they are, if you have one more complaint about you, it says Mike will charge you.
They'll charge
from that day on. Like, I knew him very well. One of our boys here was working for him one winter, and I used to go back there, and I worked for a farmer at Portage, and so I used to pick him up, go to Winnipeg on a movie, and that kind of stuff. So I'd go in and spend, you know, some time drinking coffee and beer, and I knew him quite well that way, but I never really had really dealings with him like some of the other guys here. But he didn't give a hoot about anybody. Like, Levi once told him, he says, you know, Mike, now I understand why your wife left you.
Oh, but he was mean to his wife, eh?
Oh, yeah. And she was a nice lady.
Yes. He was stalking her in the backyard with a shotgun when she moved to Winnipeg, eh?
Oh, yeah. Too bad.
And I guess his son was growing some pot, like marijuana, on his
really?
Property. Yeah, and Mike reported him and, you know, got the boy in trouble, only because he wanted his wife to come back, and she refused. And he says, if you don't come back, I'm going to report our son. And he did.
Hmm.
Not because he wanted to report him for marijuana, but because he couldn't control his wife anymore, so he reported the son. To this day, his whole family's still afraid of him. His wife doesn't want anything to do with him. She's afraid of him.
Uh-huh.
Because he was stalking her with a shotgun in the back alley, and the police had to be called in. And he's on crime watch, if you can believe this.
Really?
Yeah, with RCMP. And he offered for Dad to stay there, no rent, nothing. Then the first meeting at the farm, Mike insisted that Dad go there. And who did Andy have in the yard with him in his truck? A psychiatrist.
Uh-huh.
So was Andy working in good faith? No, he was trying. He was trying to intimidate Dad with a psychiatrist, a mental psychiatrist.
Uh-huh. So you didn't know that Andy was sick?
No.
What made you phone me?
I got it through the grapevine that you had heard that he was sick. So I was just checking my facts out, because Dad is ready to go back to court. So we're trying to find out what's been going on with Andy.
Okay.
And this will be more information here that, you know, because, Dad called Andy today, but he hangs up. He won't talk to him.
Okay.
And neither were the girls, right? Because the girls were backing up Andy, right? Because, you see, Andy's the one supposedly with the money, so the girls rely on him. And he lies to them, and he's got them backing him up, right?
Okay, because I noticed the way he talked, he drove a Windstar, which looked quite old, and it had rust spots. And we talked about vehicles and the such, and the drift that I got, he wasn't that well off financially.
Well, he's been.
And he said, look what I have to drive now, an old Windstar.
Well, you know what? Today he was driving a brand new white pickup.
Okay.
So, you know, he's just leading you on, or he's lying. I don't know.
Well, I really don't care, really.
Yeah. What color was the Windstar?
Dark green.
Okay. Because Yeah, he would have probably lost the company truck, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he got fired, I guess.
Oh, he got fired, yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised at Andy Chabot, but maybe he was too much like Andy.
Taking
lessons off Andy, right? Because that surprised me, but when I tried to talk to Andy Chabot, he just simply hung up on me, so I thought, well, fine. You know, if you don't want to hear what's really going on and the truth, then so be it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, things have got a way of coming back on them, right?
Oh, yes. You don't run away from those things.
No. It's whatever, like you said.
It could take 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, but what you reap, you will sow it. It'll start sprouting. I mean, the Bible is fulfilled. Prophecy is fulfilled. You don't run away from that.
No, you don't. And it says, honor thy father and thy mother. Like,
yep.
Dad's not going to live forever. He was 82 at the time. Like, let him enjoy what he's worked hard for all his life.
Yeah.
It was no skin off Andy's nose, right?
Yeah.
And I said, go ahead and sell it. I don't care. But the house is Dad's. That was the agreement when Dad sold you the property. You have to honor your word. And it was in writing. But you see, Andy never registered it with land title in Portage.
Okay.
And my sister was supposed to be helping Dad. She works at land title in Winnipeg. So she was in cahoots with Andy to make sure that Dad's rights were never protected. And I guess maybe Andy figured Dad would kick the bucket earlier, right? And
yeah.
He wouldn't have to pay the mortgage because he never registered any mortgage in Dad's name. So let's say that was a scenario. Then Andy would have owed Dad money. If Dad passed on, then he wouldn't pay the estate or the rest of the family. So he had it coming and going. He had it covered. And then when I went to visit Dad, he had the RCMP throw me out. Because he says, it's my house, my property, and my name's on title. And I could have fought it, but at that point, they were giving Dad too much static, so I backed off. And from then on, he ran with the RCMP all the time.
Uh-huh. When he was here, he said he was supposed to attend a funeral, but he says, no, I won't go. Apparently, he says, one of my best friends, we raised together, we did all kinds of things together, and he died. Well, it says, if he was your best friend, why wouldn't you go? What's the use? Andy, I guess you don't want to be reminded what's probably waiting for you. It'll be good for you. You know, there's the things that have to be straightened out before we go. Come on. Nah, I won't go. So with that, I felt uncomfortable, you know. But I had other things to do, so I just excused myself. So I got work to do, so I just drove off.
But he should, you know what I see here? I see God coming through you to tell Andy one last time to get his life right with God and with his father.
Yeah. I don't know what made me say things, but I had no idea whatsoever that these things were going on.
Right, but you said all the right things, Mike.
Yeah.
And you know what? God used you to get through to him.
Yeah.
One last time. It's like make right with your father.
Yeah.
And when he answered the phone today for Dad, and he said hello and something and basically hung up again. So, you know, God's tugging at his shirt sleeve saying, make right with your father.
Yeah. Well, if it's not done voluntarily, what I mean, pushing it down your throat.
No, you can't. You can't. But it's like, come on, Andy, this is a reality facing you and, you know, facing you. Get right with God.
Yeah.
And I said that from day one, honor your father and your mother. And then he turned it around and said something about my saying that I was going to kill. How did he say that? Oh, accused, saying that I was saying that he was going to kill his father. I says, yes, you are. I said, I don't mean killing with a gun, but when you move a senior from his home, you're basically killing him because that's what they're used to. You don't uproot a senior at that age, especially your father, for no reason. Dad's quite capable of looking after himself.
Yeah.
And he brought the psychiatrist in twice, including last summer. And the psychiatrist said, there's nothing wrong with Lionel. He's competent to look after his affairs. But when Andy, he was supposed to go to court in 2 days, and Dad would have got his property back, he got Mike to go in there and to turn things around. And then I know we're sure they drugged Dad because he doesn't remember what happened the rest of that night or the next day. Anyways, Mike sees Dad's van. He won't release it. It's still in Mike's yard. And he's saying that Dad owes him $5,000 for a hose that burst. You know, there was a fuel leak because Mike didn't want to shut off the safety valve for the gas tank.
Yeah.
And he asked Dad to fill his truck up. So Dad says, well, the safety is not on. I'll shut it. And Mike says, no, I've never shut it off in 30 years. Well, that night it leaked. So now he's charging Dad for the fuel tank. And now he's saying that Dad owes him $5,000 for staying there. That's bullshit, because he had said, he had begged Dad to stay there. He says you can stay there rent-free.
Yeah, sounds so like Mike.
Yeah, and then he turned around and Dad paid him $400, and now he still wants $5,000, or he will not release the van.
Yeah.
And he's looking for Dad's motorhome. He'd like to get his hands on the motorhome. And then last summer, when they surrounded him, and Andy Bouchard said, I'm not letting go of my dad this time, I'm not. He and Mike took Dad to the lawyer Greenberg in Portage Prairie and tried to get Dad to sign over the power of attorney that I have and Aunt Madeline has, which is Dad's sister in Winnipeg. They wanted to sign it over to Mike. And the lawyer smelled a rat, and he says, uh-uh, you go back to your lawyer. What's going on here, right?
Yeah.
So Mike was trying to get the power of attorney, and if he would have gotten the power of attorney off of Dad, if the lawyer hadn't been sharp enough, he would have sold Dad's motorhome, paid himself, and the van. The van's sitting in Mike's yard. Mike won't release it. He wouldn't give Dad his medication. He wouldn't give Dad his passport and the keys to the new van that I bought for him. And they had confiscated the new van I gave to my dad. I kept it in my name because I did not trust Andy, right, that he would try to take it from Dad, and he tried. Anyways, the lawyer had to get two private investigators to escort my dad out of his office through the back door while Mike was pacing up and down the front, and my brother was driving up and down Portage Avenue and sitting in the bar. So the private investigator, the two of them, drove Dad all the way to Regina. The reason they didn't put him on a plane in Winnipeg is I said, don't do that, they're going to charge you with kidnapping. So what happened? Mike and Andy went directly to the RCMP and said that the lawyer, Dad's lawyer, had abducted my dad and they wanted him charged. Well, how stupid can that be? So I said to the lawyer, see, they're doing the same thing they did with me. They charged me with attempted kidnap of my very own mother. I said, they'll try it with you, and they did. So luckily, the lawyer by that point is starting to believe everything I've said, because up until that point, none of it made sense because everybody's against me, eh? Now he's starting to believe it. And anyways, the two private investigators drove Dad all the way to Regina, put him on a plane, and, well, they stayed overnight because of BC here the next morning. Then the next morning, Mike is going around telling everybody that Dad's in the hospital in BC. What a liar. I said, you want to talk to Dad? Then this was Uncle Lawrence. So that's fine. Two private investigators, which cost a fortune, took Dad to Regina. The other two private investigators then went to get the new van that I bought for my dad. It was in Mike's shed, locked up, and Mike had backed up his fifth wheel in front of the door so nobody could get it. So he stalled, called up Andy, because the lawyer told Mike that he would be in trouble if he didn't release the van, because it's in my name, right?
Yeah.
He had to get two RCMP to go in the yard to get the van out of the yard, because Mike would not let it go. And so what Andy and Mike did, they filled it full of stuff, including oil rags and everything. They spilt it, ruined the $1,000 carpet. We had to get that replaced once it got here. But before they left, they wanted to take everything out of the van because it was full. And they were going to leave it at John Lafreniere and Susie's.
Mm-hmm.
And then my boyfriend, who's a bit of a psychic, said, no, God told him that Andy and Mike would be waiting for him in the bushes. And I said, come on. Anyway, so I phoned Susie back and I said, thank you, Susie, but we'll take it somewhere else. And Susie says, guess what? I said, what? She says, Andy and Mike are hiding in the bushes across from the yard waiting for the vehicle to get here. I said, I'll be darned. So they weren't waiting there with tea and crumpets, if you know what I mean. Something would have happened to the driver if he had driven in with the van in their yard. They stayed there till at least 4 in the morning. Susie and Johnny were watching them all night. And they never thought to phone the RCMP, which was a mistake they should have. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He stops at nothing to get his way because he's a bully. He always has been a bully. When he was a youngster, he was a bully the whole time. So that didn't change. It just got worse.
It's very obvious. There's definitely something wrong with Andy. I mean, I've never seen a man, change his appearance the way he has. I mean, there was just no way I would have recognized him. It's only about 2 years ago when they sold us the last bus. It's still older.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, giving a power of attorney to Mike Slager would be like adding a wolf into a sheep barn.
Yeah, no kidding, eh? Yeah. But see, Andy didn't want it. Couldn't have it in his name because it would look like he was operating under duress for Dad.
Yeah.
So he had to use Mike. And Claire said, my sister said, that they were gonna. Andy was gonna pay Mike for bringing Dad back to him, right? Because he had been out here in BC and we had gotten a lawyer, right? So the figure that was mentioned was $5,000. And so when Mike lost Dad to the private investigators, now he is asking Dad to pay him $5,000 because now Andy's not going to pay him, right? So you see how that goes? Andy was going to pay Mike $5,000, so therefore, to keep Dad out of court, and Dad would have been stuck with all the legal bills, which are really, really high, where Andy would have had to pay for them, right?
Yeah.
And in fact, the judge says, this makes no sense. Go work this out. Like, this is a family. This is crazy. But what they didn't realize, we're dealing with Andy here, who will not for anything back off. And he'll get...
Oh, the other sisters.
They're behind Andy, because Andy's the mouthpiece, Andy's got the money, and Andy's a liar.
Okay.
And he's good at lying. And, well, Linda is in on it, because she was after Mom's estate, because she transfers Mom's property into her name.
Mm-hmm.
So the RCMP were involved, and she... And the first thing, when they got hold of Dad... They got my sister, who works at Land Title, to sign a release form that they wanted Dad to sign, which he would have lost all his rights to the court and to his house had he signed it. So she's in on it, so I don't know how much Andy's paying her, but obviously she's in his pocket, right?
Yeah.
And she was after Mum and her money, so... And she had the will changed, and it just... I don't know what's wrong with these people in Manitoba. It's like, what is it? They got brain freeze or what?
A vicious circle, I guess.
It's greed. Yes,
of course. Greed has no boundaries.
Well, you know, I guess that's it. It just... I cannot believe this is my family. I cannot believe it. Like, they didn't put themselves through school. The only thing is they cheated to get anything. All Andy ever did was cheat all his life. He has no schooling. My sister has no schooling. All she's done is taken advantage of people. Now, because she works at Land Title, I'd like to know how many pieces of property between her and she and Andy that they've stolen off people. You think about it. They could do anything in there. The mortgage that was registered on his property, on Andy's property 2 days before Dad fell, he took the mortgage out in December. It was not registered till February 15th. Somebody was sitting on that paperwork, and that must have been my sister who works for Land Titles, even though this should have been registered in Portage. It wasn't registered until February 15th. So she pulled those papers out somehow. They didn't, because she didn't want me looking for it, because that's the first thing I did, is the lawyer said, go to Land Titles, and I had already anyways. The first time I didn't spot it, but the second time the guy says, well, wait a minute, this mortgage was taken out on December 24th, or 23rd, whatever day it was, and Dad fell 2 days later. So I could see this as Andy's opportunity to kick his dad out, because he had to take out a new mortgage, right?
Yeah.
He thought he could subdivide his lots in Kenora. Like, my brother bought 250 acres in Kenora.
Oh, yeah.
I forget where it is, but on the Lake of the Woods there somewhere, and he was going to subdivide and make money, right?
Yeah.
But that didn't happen either. There's a god at work here. That got stopped. And he tried to subdivide Dad's property. That got stopped. Like, God's saying, Andy, smarten up. And you know what? You gave him another chance. And if he's not listening, well, there's not much we can do, right?
How much land did Dad own?
Well, at the end, just 80 acres.
80.
That was all. Because he had subdivided, and he had sold the first 2 acres with the original house to Andy, and Andy flipped it for a good profit.
Okay.
He paid 35, I think, or 38 for it. He sold it for 135, I believe. So he made a good profit. And when he bought Dad's property, he was supposed to give him fair market value for the second half. He never did.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know...
It's too bad.
He took advantage of Dad every time he could turn around and do it. One time, Dad came back from picking up grain dryers for Ronnie Shabbat.
Yeah.
He got home, and what did he see? Andy Bouchard in the yard with two other people with a tree digger. I don't know what you call those things.
Tree spade.
Okay, and he was stealing Dad's best trees. And he was trading them for lumber or a plywood floor for his cottage on the lake.
You know, what you could say, did you know John Schwartz?